And your name is life. And Father, every time we speak the name of Jesus, we are speaking life over situations. Every time we speak Jesus to somebody, we are speaking deliverance over them. Every time we speak the name of Jesus over somebody, we are speaking faith and hope and love and joy and peace over them, Father. And we thank you, Father. Help us to make an impact in our city, Father, by speaking the name Jesus in prayer and out in public. And Father, sharing our testimony with others. Lord Jesus, because you are life, and there's a lot of dead people in this city. Father, Lord Jesus, and we speak life over them right now in the name of Jesus. We speak life over our family, Father, of those that are lost and undone without Christ. We speak life over our workplace. We speak life over our gyms. God, we speak life over our everyday going to the dog park, wherever we're at. God, we speak life. And we thank you for that in the name of Jesus, because we are the light of the world and we are the salt of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. So good to see you today. Praise God Almighty. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Man, last week, man, we had somehow, I don't know how, but we had 128 people in here. Praise God for that. And we would have closer to that today, but we have a couple families that is really sick, and so two whole families are out. And some other people were out of town. But we're excited that you're here. And I see we have lots of guests today. We're so thankful for each and every one of y'all that have come to be with us. And please fill out one of those little blue cards if you don't, so you can make sure and get all the information that we have. We're so excited that you're here. We love you. And you are a big deal to us by just being here. So today, the title of my message, we are Kingdom Impact right after Easter. So we're going to talk about the title of my message today is just impact. Okay, now we're all part of the kingdom, right? But we as individuals need to make impact. Impact. You know, stepping out to plant a church after 18 years of youth ministry was very taunting to me. I consider myself to be a great number two man. I didn't mind being a number two man the rest of my life. And I was going to be a youth pastor until I was 75 years old. Boy, just rolling it in there like, you know, just going with it. Wouldn't matter to me. You know, I was fine with that, you know. But God had other plans. It was very concerning and scary to me because I never knew how to lead. I was always the number two. I can always say, I don't know. What do you think? You know. And so now I tell my leadership, what do y'all think? You know. And so I don't mind making decisions, but I love to get different opinions of things. And so, but you know, I was asking God for clarity and for confidence and for confirmation of these things. And I got that from my family and from friends and from prayer and definitely from reading the Word of God. But also, one of my spiritual fathers, J.D. Simmons, and he's going to be here on May the 7th. He's a spiritual father, and he has been in ministry over 50 years, and he's going to be here and speak to us on May the 7th. So please come for that day. It's going to be a great day to see him. But we went to my mom and dad's house, him and his wife, Vicky. We went to my mom and dad's house and had a ceremony, and he was retiring at that time. You know, now he just helps churches that have maybe a pastor that left. He kind of fills in just a little bit until they come or revitalize them or what have you. But we went over there to Mom and Dad's house, and we had a passing of the mantle ceremony. And he kind of passed his mantle to me. And I was so honored by that. And that was just confirmation of my life. This man's been in ministry for over 50 years, you know, and he wants me to be able to carry the mantle that he took to carry that on. And I'm so honored by that, you know. And you know, and I'm not him. We're totally different. You know, he's a little bit more old school. You know, but he's very in tune with today's society, today's generation, and what they need and what they like have, and so he's excited. And he still mentors me. I call him on the phone sometimes, and he mentors me about some situations. And so, have you ever had anybody like that yourself? That someone, you know, you had a situation that you were trying to really get clarity on, and of course you prayed. Of course, God gave it to you. But I'm talking about individuals, people here on earth that God uses to bring clarity to it for you by something they say. Or something they do, right? You know, so I want to ask you today, and I'm sure the rest, everybody in here has had that moment where someone said something to you that just transformed your life. You're like, man, that was so good. You know, but I want to ask you, have you ever told them that? Have you ever told them what an impact they have made on your life? You know, that's super important, you know, because we need to celebrate that. Man, you said that to me, and that was incredible. It changed my life. You know, because why can't we celebrate that? We celebrate our birthdays, and all that means is just you went 365 days without dying. Okay? So why can't we celebrate someone who said something to us that made a big difference in our life? See, you know, and here's the thing. Is sometimes I'll talk to him and or Jenny Mayo, my spiritual mom, and I'll say something. I'll say, hey, man, what you said and what you did or what you said to me really made an impact on my life. And here's what you said. And they're like, I don't remember that. Pastor Kevin comes to me sometimes as a pastor. Whenever I was 15 years old, I remember that. I'll never forget that message that you preached, so-and-so, so-and-so. And you said, and I'm like, dude, I don't even remember the message, much less what I said. You know, but it impacted him, okay? And so why does that happen? Did it not mean nothing to me? No, that wasn't it at all. When I'm walking in the Spirit and I'm walking in this cultural revival and I'm walking in the anointed of God, then I have conversations with people that I think that I'm talking. But when you're walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh, then you'll have conversations and you'll say stuff to people that you wouldn't normally say, that you'll never remember, that you'll forget that you said. You know, and they'll say, I mean, when I'm up here praying with y'all and I'm giving y'all words sometimes, I don't have a clue. You're like, oh, you know, what did you say again? I said, you should have wrote it down because I don't know what I said. You know, then I'll pray about it and I'll say, God, this person needs to know that word you gave to me. So I just ask you to refresh my memory. And a lot, most of the time you'll bring it back to me of what I said. You know, but the thing is that you have made an impact on somebody's life, and somebody's made an impact on you. And if you're walking around in the Spirit, you're praying, and you're reading your Bible, you're going to impact people's lives that you never know. But it feels good for us to make an impact when we know it, and for someone to say, hey, you know, Richard, man, what you said the other day really touched my heart. Let's play a little game to understand that. So how many people in here can name, you don't have to raise your hand and say, it's just theoretically. How many people can name one of the last five Time Magazine's Persons of the Year? Probably not very many people. How many of you can name one of the last five who got the Oscar for Best Movie Director? How about who won, unless you like golf, you won't know this one. How many people knows who won the Masters last year? Okay? You know, and then the last one, the greatest prize, I looked for the last one, what's the greatest prize, the greatest award anybody can get? And Dr. Google said the Nobel Peace Prize. And so how many can name three of the last five Nobel Peace Prize winners of the greatest give an award that anybody can get? Probably not a lot of people, right? But let me ask you this. Who was your favorite elementary school teacher? You know that, don't you? Okay. I don't remember elementary school. Okay. I can't remember much past high school. I don't know why. I forget because of COVID, but even before COVID, I still didn't remember. I just don't remember that far back. It's like, look, when you get ADD, you're like, oh, I'm past that. I don't even remember that anymore. So I need more room in my mind. So you just got to get rid of stuff, right? So, but I do remember, I was thinking the other day, I was like, elementary, I couldn't remember nothing. All I remember is a name, Miss Gaddy. And that was her name, and that was one of my elementary school teachers. In middle school, I hadn't thought about this guy at all, but when I started thinking about who touched me in middle school, Mr. Seals, he was my band director in middle school. And then in high school, I remembered Miss Susan Miller. She was a cute little thing, too. And I was a dork and a dweeb, and I got picked on and stuff, but she took care of me. I sat in front of the class, and I brought her little things, and I was her little teacher's pet, and it was English, so I still probably failed. But still, I just I didn't mind failing if you give me an E. Now, if that idiot gives me an E, I'm upset about that. It's in social studies. But Miss Miller, if you had to fail me, I understand. You know, so I liked her. And then also in high school was Mr. Gilliard, but he was more like family. He was my band director in high school, and we were like the closest-knit group of anybody I've ever been a part of, just about hardly. You know, and then if I ask you, well, who helped you through a difficult time in your life? You're going to know somebody. Me, when I went through my first divorce, Rachel's here today. Her brother, Lawrence Sawyer, helped me through a really tough time going through that divorce. Tim Kensler was another guy, and also Benji Harrell, which is Sydney's chorus teacher, matter of fact. But they all were with me. They helped me from killing somebody, literally. That's another story at the end of the day. I'm saying I was okay with going to hell at that point. And I was. I mean, I was in a very dark place, and I was okay. I'm going to go to hell because of this, but it's okay because I'm going to do what I got to do. And then, of course, God smacked me around, and God really changed me. And because I had so much hate in my heart in that moment, and I was able to forgive so much, now forgiving is something that I just can't not do. Because when you get hurt hard, you forgive hard, right? When God delivers you from it, He delivers you from it. So it's hard for me to continue on with that. But, and then who taught you something meaningful? I mentioned her name a while ago. You know, obviously your parents and stuff like that, but But Jeannie Mayo was a spiritual mom, and she really taught me some meaningful stuff with youth ministry. I had a whole bunch of garbage on the table. I had looked at, and this, I thought this is how ministry was, and she just raked it all off the table and said, "Now let me teach you how to do ministry, son." And she taught me how to do ministry with love and compassion and joy and relationships. So then let me ask you another one. If I ask you, who made you feel special or appreciated this week? You probably have a name. I would have Miss Dolores. She called me the other day and just loved on me and was excited with me and just talked about great things. And just, she just really encouraged me. And then one of my best friends since high school, Anthony Braswell, called me on Monday. And we were roommates in college. And we don't see each other a whole lot. But you know those best friends, it don't matter. You're best friends forever. And he called me up and says, "Hey, man, I know you had a great day yesterday, I'm sure." He said, "I want you to just unload on me right now. Tell me all the great things that happened. I want to cheer you on. I want to rejoice with you." You know, that's you know what I'm saying? So that stuff means a lot, you know? And so I told him right there, I said, "Man, you don't understand how much this meant to me. Just for you just to check and want to celebrate with me, you know? Because you talk to other pastors, a lot of them want to celebrate themselves, right? Well, let me tell you what I did, you know? And so it's good to call somebody else and talk to them about that. But when we think about impact, we think about accolades. We think about titles and awards and positions and stuff like that. But actually, impact really happens because of people. And probably all the people that you know, most of the rest of the people in this room may not even know them. I believe God has called us to impact our city and our world. And it just doesn't happen because it's supposed to happen. You have to do something. You have to be intentional. And so you have to do something to cause that. You have to, small acts of kindness and love and service, and be intentional and do small things. Talk to people and be around people and share with people and love on people. Let's see what Matthew chapter 5 says. It says, you, 13 through 16, one verse at a time, you are the salt of the world. But what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. We are salt. So let's talk about that. What do you mean, Pastor Doug? Well, salt in the ancient world was used for preserving and protecting food. Because they didn't have a lot of refrigeration situation, what they did was they would put salt all over stuff and it would preserve it from decaying, right? It would also flavor food, right? We season it. We season our food with salt, right? We put season and salt on it. And also it heals. Whenever you have a sore throat, what happens? You get a little hot water, a little salt in it, and you gargle and it heals your throat, right? You know, in that scripture, it says, you are the salt of the world. It didn't say you are the salt, so stay in the shaker, okay? It says you are the salt of the world. So we aren't supposed to sit in a shaker and stay there. We're supposed to be salt sprinkled all out all over the place, right? Salt does not lose its potency or strength. It does not lose its strength. But whenever you put it with polluted things, impurities, it becomes diminished in its ability to keep itself salty. Just like us, when we go into the world and we get polluted by impurities in the world, it diminishes our power. Okay. The rabbis commonly use the word "lost its taste" or "loses its taste," and in the Hebrew, it's really talking about becoming foolish. So a foolish disciple loses its influence. See, salt is a preservative. Salt should preserve people. Salt keeps the enemy from decaying things. And when we're left to ourselves and we don't use the word of God to help preserve us, and we don't pray for protection and all these things, we are left to decay in this world. So I want to ask you today, are you salty? Right? I don't mean like Generation Z or whatever, where somebody's like, "Oh, I'm salty." That means I'm mad at you. Older people, someone says, "Oh, I'm salty with you." That means, it don't mean that I want to lick your ear. It means that I am salty. I'm mad at you, right? Okay, so number two, you are the light of the world, verse 14. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. I love that because I have been to Israel. If you go to Israel with me, you'll see this. When we go to the Galilee at the Pilgrim House, I walk down a little trail and I go around a side down to right there where the Sea of Galilee's at. And at nighttime, I can look over here and you can see a city on a hilltop. That is where the scripture comes from. because it's full of bright lights. And it's bright all night long. And it can't be hidden because there's so many lights up there. And it lights up the whole region. And so that's what that scripture's talking about. A city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden is a real place. And it says, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Because, you know, if you have a candle and you put the top on it, or under a basket symbolically, right? What does it do? It suffocates the oxygen and puts it out. It says, instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. That's why you have lamps on stands on your coffee tables. That's why we have the lamps outside. And outside, you have these big tall lampstands that on the street lights, the real time. Because the higher the light is placed, then the more light it shines. So the closer we are to God spiritually, the more light we're able to give out. Light is something that is meant to be seen. Light is not supposed, well, it can't be in the dark. If it's in the dark, it's not even a light, right? Believers must stay in, we have to stay engaged with this evil society. But we don't need to be a part of it. What's the old Southern gospel song? I'm in this world, not of this world. I'm just passing through, right? And so we need to be part of the world, but we're not in the world. We're not partaking of the world. So are you, you know, so are you a light at work? Are you a light at home? Are you a light at the gym? And are you a light at the restaurants or wherever? Because when we go out, you are supposed to create a thirst for more of God through your salt that you have. You're supposed to preach preservation to them and give them scriptures to help preserve them from sin, to protect them from sin and protect them from things and pray for them and pray for protection over them. And we're supposed to be a light, and we're supposed to be a light that shines bright like a diamond, right? And it shines out for all to see. Number 6, verse 16. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. Okay, that good deeds or good works in King James is talking about something that you do that gives glory to God. It's not talking about do stuff so everybody can see you. Okay? It says do it to the praise of your Father. So everybody will see and praise your Father. If you do it, Scripture says that if you do stuff for everybody else to see, and you're all the time telling everybody all what you've done, how good you are, all what you've done, then the people that you are talking to will say, oh, that's great. Okay? But that's all the praise you got. God says you'll get your praise on earth, not in heaven. But when we do stuff and we're trying to bless people and love on people and let our light shine and let salt come out and minister to people on a regular basis, and we don't care if anybody sees it or not, but people who do see it, we give glory to God for it. He gets the glory and we don't get the glory. You know, I'm here all week alone, and so there's all the time people come through the door, and I'm all the time out in town doing stuff, and so I help people, and I love on people, and I do things for people. I may, you know, do different things that help different people, but y'all may not know about it. But I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it in your name, in our name, the Kingdom Impact. I'm doing stuff to help people, and I'm the pastor of Kingdom Impact, which represents you, but I'm not doing it to be seen by nobody. I'm doing it because I want God to get the glory for it, and I want Him to be exalted. I don't need to be exalted because I understand my insecure, evil-based nature. And without Christ, we are nothing. And so we are lights, and light is contradictory. If it is not lit, right? It's not lit. And these good works, if Christ is not in it, if Christ is not in these good works, and we're not lifting Him up, bringing glory to Him, it's just a good deed. And it means nothing to God. Okay? Nothing at all. And we need to run our life to where we shine and we attract people like lights outside, porch lights attract moths. Whenever you walk in a room, you should attract people to you. When you walk in a room, people should want to be around you because you're going to make them happier, more joyful. You're going to talk good things about them. You're going to encourage them. You're going to bless them. You're going to love them. You're going to appreciate them. And so when you start doing those things and you walk in a room, people will flock to you. And so if people are not flocking to you, then you got to say, you know what, God, I need to increase my salt. I need to turn my brightness and my light up a little bit so we can see more. Because whenever you are salt and light, you bring joy to people. salt was so important, you know, so many years ago, because it was a distinction of who had it. It was a commodity. Actually, men a lot of times many years ago would bring salt pouches with them. And, you know, if me and Jason were walking and we made an agreement about something, we would switch salt and we would exchange salt, because once your salt gets in my salt pouch, I can't pull it all out and give it back to you. It was talking about the severity of the word, the promise that we made with each other. If I made an agreement with you, that's how much that agreement should mean, that I can't pull my salt out, so I shouldn't take my word back. That's where that comes from. And that's where it comes. Now, the word salary comes from, or wages, but the word salary comes from an old term called salt money. Salt money. Because, like I said, also because it was such a commodity and it helped people. People didn't have enough salt to preserve all their foods. The more salt they had, the more they could preserve their food. So it was salt money. That's where you get people who say, hey, you know, he's not worth his salt. That's where that comes from. Because they're not worth their wages. They're not worth what they're getting for what they're doing. They're not worth their salt. But you should be the brightest light when you walk into your community, when you walk into your home, when you walk into your job, wherever you're at as a Christian, when you walk into your workplace especially. Maybe not at home, because you're all lights, hopefully. But Christians, the act that like salt gets in there and says, how can I bring the best out of this organization, out of this group, and out of these people? When you walk into a place, you should be thinking, not what can I get from this? You should walk in a place saying, how can I bless this room? How can I bring up the level of emotion in this room? Whenever I'm going into the community in a restaurant, when I'm in a place, not how can I bring it down? How can I bring it? How can I elevate the atmosphere? How can I take the energy of this room and bring it up? Right? What can I do to make the energy in this room better than it is right now? And trust me, you can do that. You put me and Kevin in any room, we're going to make the energy come up. We're going to make it exciting, right? Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be with grace. A lot of Christians forget that. Grace, not anger. Let your speech be with grace. Season with salt, making people thirsty for more of God. And that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. So we need to know how to answer, and that's with grace and with salt, right? Other versions use the words gracious and attractive. Let your speech be attractive or gracious, or let it be pleasing or interesting. And we have to not allow the enemy to saturate us. Okay, have you ever seen a salt shaker that had rice in it? Okay, why is that rice in there? To keep the moisture out, right? Okay, so whenever water gets in there, it saturates the salt, and it makes it clumpy, and it makes it wet, and it won't come out. And that, you know, and it inhibits the ability for the salt to come out freely. And that's what the enemy wants to do to you. He wants to get in your life and saturate you and make you moist with his presence and make you to the place where you can't come out and you can't sprinkle and you can't be free. He wants to pin you up and make you clumpy, right? So how do we accomplish this? Number one, care about what you do. Care about what you do. Ephesians 1:19-21. I also pray that you will understand, the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. There's power in us because the incredible greatness of power in us who believe him. This same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. That same power that raised God from the dead is in us. Now, he is far above any ruler and authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but the world to come. Romans 15:13 says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. When you trust in him, he fills you with joy and peace. Then you will overflow with confident hope because he's the source of hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. See, as a follower of Jesus, you have all kind of power in you. And we need to open the floodgates up. We do not need to allow the enemy to take our salt and make it clumpy and make it stick together where we can't go out in this world and free. We need to be free and open the floodgates and let that salt flow and let the light shine as bright as it can. I know some of y'all are not going to walk out of here and I'll just all of a sudden be bold, okay? But you can walk out of here and be bolder. Come out here, walk out this door today and be bolder than you were. Let your light shine. Share your testimony. Love on people. Tell them you care. Tell them how great they look. Tell them that God is in control. Tell them that you'll be praying for them. Shine your light. Say stuff. You know what? Well, so-and-so's bad happened to me. Well, you know what? God did this. That happened to me, but God helped me out of it. That makes them thirsty. Well, what do you mean? They're curious. When you say, well, God did that for me and he healed me of that. Or God, I was in that same situation and God took me out of that. My marriage was like that, but now it's not anymore. You know, and so therefore that makes people curious. And curiousness is the saltiness. Interesting. Hey, well, what do you mean? I want more. Give me more of that. It makes them want more, right? So there's more than 100 verses in the Bible that speaks of living water. Well, we make them salty, so what do we give them? We give them the living water of God, the living word of God. It's a living water. So when they get this quenches their thirst. Because they're looking to sex, drugs, alcohol. They're looking to relationships. They're looking to finances and popularity and wealth to try to feed and quench that thirst, and it's not going to happen. You can talk to any superstar. You can talk to Michael Jordan or whoever. I've heard all of them say, I had it all. I had money, sex, drugs, I had everything, the cars, the houses, I had everything, but I was still empty because the living word was not in them. So we need to give them the living word to drink because what they have is not satisfying them. And we are not giving them the living word because we take the word in and then we just dam it up in us because we don't want to push past and try to witness to nobody, or we don't know what to say and all that. Man, we got to step out and trust God. You know, well, yeah, I'm shy, but whenever boldness comes on someone, the boldness of the Lord comes on someone that's shy, things happen. And God will speak through you, but you got to undam that water and let the living water of God come out of you and spread that light and spread that joy and spread that all out and be the conduit that God flows through. It's not you. And don't get cocky when God does something from you. You got to know that you're just a water hose. He just flows through you. You don't own the water. You don't own it. It flows through. And you don't get to, you shouldn't keep any of it. Once it comes through there, you need to let it all. You know how whenever you put up a water hose, you go through and let all the water out. You don't need to keep any of it. Then I won't have none. No. If you're a conduit and it constantly flowing through you, you're always getting the effects of it. Right? You know, and we got to do things we have great intentions, but sometimes you just got to go do something. We all have intentions to let our light shine and to be bright and have salt, but we just let it go and we don't worry about it. They don't know what they need. When you're talking to somebody, we say, hey, well, I'm praying for you. And hey, if you need anything, let me know. Listen, there's nothing wrong with saying that. I've said it several times this week, okay? There's nothing wrong with saying that. But sometimes people don't know what they need. They're so overwhelmed with grief or fear. They don't know what they need. So we as Christians need to use our discernment and try to discern and maybe find out what they do need. Well, maybe, hey, man, you know, maybe you need, let me give you some gas. Hey, let me go mow your yard. Hey, can I just talk to you? Can I buy you? Maybe they just need a meal. Maybe they just need a meal. Whatever it is that they need, because they probably will never ask you, even though you're serious and they know you're serious, they're probably not going to ask for your help. So you need to volunteer to help at times and do that because your actions speak louder than your intentions. You know, well, that seems so significant, just doing something small for like that, man. The smallest things a lot of times mean the biggest. It's so easy to overestimate the importance of one moment of greatness and underestimate the value of just a single act of love. You know, because, you know, and as a pastor, when someone passes like that, you know, a lot of times whenever I first became a pastor, I felt like I had to always be doing something, always saying something. But you know what? As a pastor, I realized sometimes just my presence being there because I'm a representative of Christ and I'm the spiritual one that they're looking to, just me being in the room brings people peace. I don't feel worthy of that. But you know what? I don't bring them peace. God brings them peace through me. So, you know, I can feel confident about that. You know, because it's not about me. So I can walk in confidence saying, God, it's you that's bringing them peace. It's not me. So I don't have to walk around like, you know, bringing some peace in the room, you know. Because that's not how it should be. And whenever you do that, people want to be seen, people want to be heard, and people want to be recognized. And people are often overlooked and ignored. And so when you see somebody that is being unseen or ignored, and you go to them, it means a lot. And will not always be convenient. Bob Goff said, loving people the way Jesus did means living a constant life of interruptions. And we got to get to the place where we start seeing interruptions as opportunities. Now, you got to set boundaries, and I have to set boundaries. You can't just let somebody just come in your life and just take over, right? I've had people in the past that came and needed stuff from the church, and then they kept coming and kept coming. Before long, you know, I was just 24/7 their babysitter, you know, helping them through every situation in life. But you got to set boundaries. But also you got to know that God, these are boundaries, but these are also opportunities. So when these situations come, God, show me the opportunities where I can be love, that I can be salt, that I can be light, that I can be joy. And be concerned about their well-being. Maybe it's nothing else. It's just other than just picking up the phone and making a phone call. Maybe that's all they need. Just to know that someone cares. There's been a lot of people that I've talked to that they said, Pastor, you didn't know how much it means. Just because I hadn't heard from nobody all week long, and I've been here, I've been lonely. Just the fact that you called, I was just praying about this. You know, you never know what it means just for a phone call. The next one is care about who you do it for. Colossians 3:17. Let every detail in our lives, words, action, or deeds, be done in the name of the Master Jesus. Thanking God the Father every step of the way. Everything you should do, it should be gravitated towards doing it for the Lord. Doing it for the Lord. But if I do all the stuff and I'll be unnoticed, well, who is it about? Is it about you or is it about the Lord? Are you doing it so somebody can notice? Well, then do it in front of somebody if that's what you want. Okay? But don't worry about it, because you know what? God never not notices. He will always notice. And one day, you'll stand before God and he'll say, you know what? There's a lot of stuff you did nobody saw. But I saw every time you did something. No matter how small it was. And he's going to bless you. Galatians 6:9. So let us not get tired of doing what's good. Sometimes you do good and you're all about it. And then after a while, you get tired of doing good. Scripture says, don't get tired of doing what's good. At the right time, you will reap a harvest of blessing if you don't give up. But we do good for a while and we get tired and we quit. Especially when it comes to serving. Okay, there's a blessing on the other side. There's a blessing on the other side of tiredness. There's a blessing on the other side of harvest for you. And then care about who you do it with. We need to want to build an unbelievable culture. Then we have to, in your workplace, in your classroom, in your job or whatever, then you need to build relationships. We can do more together and accomplish more together. The Colorado River starts by all the way up at La Padre Pass, and it's a little tiny creek, and it gets bigger, and as it goes on, there's several rivers that join it. And then all of a sudden it becomes the Colorado River. And so that Colorado River is what went through the Grand Canyon, right? And so the thing is as we bring more and more people on, the more powerful something becomes. You can come on up if you want, Will. What starts small can turn into one of the most powerful forces of humanity when it's experienced. That's the power of togetherness. That's the power of team. That's the power of life groups. That's the power of community. That's the power of family. That's the power of marriage. That's the power of the body of Christ. Unity, being together as one and making a big impact. So let's all come together wherever we're at. I love Bob Goff also says, he says, we don't have to call it ministry. We can just call it Tuesday. Love already has a name. You don't have to, let's go do some ministry. No, just do ministry all the time, and you ain't got to call it ministry. Just everywhere you're at, minister to somebody. That your life is a ministry. That you don't have to call it, well, I'm going to do some ministry today. Well, that means you ain't done none yet. Right? Right? So let's don't just call it Sunday. Let's call it every day. Right? And love our city. The greatest impact that you can have on somebody is not the words that will not be the words that you say, but the life that you live. Sometimes it's not about what you say, it's about the life that you live. I want to go back real quickly to my last little statement here, Mark 9 and 50. Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how can you make it salty again? You must have the qualities of salt among yourselves and live in peace with each other. See, flavor, salt is flavor and unique. And if you don't have salt, it becomes meaningless and useless. So I want to ask you today, if you would bow your head and close your eyes. Who would say, Pastor Doug, I'm not a Christian. I don't know my Lord and Savior. I don't have any salt. I'm not making anybody, if I make anybody thirsty, it's for something else that they shouldn't be drinking. But God, I want to have the joy of the Lord, and I want to have that salt in me, and I want to have that light. I want to shine bright. I want people to recognize who you are. I want to bring glory to you, Lord, not to me. And when you do that, God will elevate you. Who would say, I don't know Christ today, but I want to receive Christ. I want to receive the Lord, Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Is anybody in here that don't want to do that? Who would say, Pastor Doug, stress and anxiety and fear and doubt and all this stuff, man, this week has been horrible. Mine have. Man, I've had a big, very stressful week. I've had a lot of stuff go on. I've had different counselings and different things and talked to a lot of people, and it's taken a lot out of me. So what did I do? I went to God. I gave it to God, and now I'm here, and I'm ready to go again for another week. And that's what you got to do. I don't want to stop all that. I don't want to stop the emotional stress of it, because I want to keep ministering to people. If I want to keep doing that, I got to keep giving it to God. So who would it be here today and say, Pastor Doug, my light is dim, my salt shaker is about empty, and I just pray that God would refill my salt shaker. He would recalibrate my light so my light would be brighter. And it's just because of stress and anxiety and just life in general and family. Man, I'm walking around. I'm still saved, but I'm just a little dim today. Just a little dim, a little down. Yes, yes, amen. I see your hand. Anybody else? Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, I see your hands. Yes, everybody's hands. Yes, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every hand that went up. I pray, Father, that you increase the wattage in their lamp. I pray that you make it, Father, Lord, just bright and shine so bright, and that you make them fill the room up with brightness, God, today. Lord, I pray as their salt shaker is dim, as their salt shaker, Father, may not have a whole lot of salt in it. God, they're getting weak. I pray that you fill up their lives today with salt to overflowing, to where they have to take the lid off and just pour it somewhere. God, help them today in the name of Jesus. Lord, help them receive it right now where they're at. Help them receive a bolt of electricity through them today, of excitement and joy and peace and happiness. In the name of the Father, amen and amen.